This is Dane Grell. You're hanging and banging and listening to another wrestling podcast. Get some awesome, bad enough to.
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at
the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
They think they got the answers. I change the question.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
These are the best in the world, brother. These are the best at what they do.
When we talk about the legends of the sport, there's only two in my book.
Another wrestling podcast.
Another wrestling podcast. Now can you dig that, sucker?
All right, everybody, welcome to another wrestling podcast. I'm Jonathan Benjamin.
And I'm Steve Credo.
Steve, the most historic episode since last week's episode, episode number 99. Can you believe it?
99 problems and a bitch ain't one, Jonathan. I know it.
I was going to go with 99 red balloons, but you went with that, so that's
party right. Like it's 1999, or episode 99.
Yeah, that's probably a good way to go. Yeah, you could
have. Well, either way, 99, Jonathan, we have been doing this consecutively for 99 weeks in a row. We haven't taken a day off. We haven't taken a week off. 99 episodes, almost at 100, Jonathan. Almost at 100. Wow.
Yeah.
Who else can say that? Nobody.
It just keeps getting better. It just keeps getting better.
And 99 episodes of consecutive guests, I might add, too. Not just us talking about a show. We've had 99 episodes in a row with guests. Wow.
Yeah, wow. No, and today's guest is going to be amazing. This is somebody, when we first started talking about doing a podcast, that we both had talked about how we wanted to get this individual on the show. So it's going to be great to have Gangrel joining us today. So
Gangrel, can't wait, man. The Brood.
Yeah, I just hope he doesn't come up through the, you know, the studio floor in flames and catch it on fire or anything.
With his what, Gatorade? Come on, that couldn't have been blood. What was that?
Oh, my God.
We'll find out. We'll have to ask him. But, wow, Gangrel's going to be on episode 99. We're gearing up for episode 100, which is going to be big next week. But right now, you know, episode 100. We love hearing from you fans. Thank you so much. AnotherWrestlingPodcast.com is the mothership of this show. You can find our links to Facebook, to Twitter, to Instagram, to TuneIn, to Podbean, to YouTube, Player FM, all those great stations, Stitcher, iTunes, everything, guys. Like, follow, subscribe. We can't do it without you, so if you take the time out, go and check us out, tweet us, Facebook us, anything you want. We'll respond. Hey, you can even call the hotline, 802-297-7672. That's toll-free, 802-AWP-7672. And I guess it's toll-free if you live in America, but still, you get the point. Give us a call. Leave a message. Give us a promo. Tell us what you're doing. Tell us what you love. Tell us what you hate. We'll play the best calls.
So, Steve, we have the man Gangrel joining us today. So before we really talk to him, and he may cover some of the stuff we're talking about too, but I was a teenager, mid-teenager growing up during the Attitude Era whenever all that stuff was happening. And, you know, I have to say that was one of my favorite things about the Attitude Era was Gangrel and the Brood. I thought that it was original. And, you know, I think that's something that you know, in the world of wrestling, we don't always get. And we've talked about Dalton Castle in the past and how, you know, it seems like a very original thing. And, you know, even the New Day to a certain extent right now is pretty original, even though it's starting to already kind of wear thin. But
the vampire gimmick kind of thing, like, you know, the whole supernatural-esque feeling about it. You know, it's great, and I'm trying to remember the year, and like it's hard to put yourself back in the time and the place and whatnot. And you know, I think at that time, you know, I think, don't quote me on this, it's where, you know, Buffy was kind of big on TV, Vampire Slayer and all that. So vampires were kind of happening back then, before the whole Twilight crap. But you know, different kind of vampire stuff, to where it only made sense to bring like a vampire type character to the big set, to the big screen of Raw or whatever, WWE. So yeah, it was definitely something different. Like, it wasn't Johnny Appleseed coming out as himself. Like, it's Gangrel. He's a vampire. He's got a group of vampires. You know, it even goes back to, like, The Brood was kind of like that Lost Boys movie, you know, like the group of vampires and friends and whatnot. So it was cool, man. It was definitely, it was like, okay, The Undertaker has that dead man gimmick, you know, he's an Undertaker. He's from the dead. He's a dead man walking. Now you got this vampire gimmick to where, you know, it's like that supernatural feeling, you know, like, what does he do on the side? Does he, you know, does he kill his victims or... What, we got a vampire wrestler right now. So it was definitely in the time happening. And it's still pretty cool when you look back at it. It's not like you're looking back at Doink the Clown and you're like, oh, he's a clown. Or Duke the Dumpster, he's a garbage man. But this, like, yeah, he's a vampire. And that I think it's still awesome today.
Well, and I think that it's because they took so much care and made everything about the gimmick, where whether it be the music, the vignettes, the fire, like everything that they did for the Brood and the gimmick was, you know, over the top. And I think that's why it stands the test of time today, is if you look back at those matches, you know, they did the bloodbath. They, you know, they were coming out from underneath the stage. They, you know, they joined the corporate ministry, and it was like creepy stuff at the time, which was, it's cool, you know, because it's similar to what I saw for the Wyatt family when they first came in, is, you know, Bray was this kind of cult leader, and they were in Louisiana, and, you know, they came on the scene, and they've got the lantern and all that stuff. And I think that that's where I see that WWE has dropped the ball with the Wyatts, because, you know, they could have still been doing what they did with them when they first came out. They were, you know, dominant whenever they first came out, and now not so much. But that is another story for another time. But, yeah, I...
But it, like, it goes right into the point of like a supernatural entity, to where I think you know, at the time too, the Undertaker's still going to this day. Back then, it's almost like, well, how do we replace the Undertaker's little shtick, if you will? You know, like, what do? Like, we don't really have this another entity, kind of. And I'm not saying Gangrel is going to be the you know, leading for taking over for the Undertaker in a way, but it was like. It was like they almost just, they were trying out, they needed another dark character, another sci-fi, supernatural-esque, you know, experience in a show. And, like, the whole vampire thing was it, you know, spitting the blood coming out. He had the vampire fangs, you know, he had the following and the Brood, and, you know, it's great. And I think to this day, though, Jonathan, you look back at Gangrel, the Brood, even the Wyatts today, it's almost like they're still today trying to find that supernatural entity that will take over for the Undertaker when he no longer wrestles. I don't know. Would you kind of classify it as some kind of that? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for whatever reason, people really, especially, like, I've seen a lot of crossover between horror movie fans and professional wrestling fans. Yeah. Like, you know, there's those conventions and all that stuff, but it seems like there's a lot of crossover there. And, you know, with, like, See No Evil and some of the other WWE movies that they've done that have been horror based. You know, I thought Kane would have been somebody that would have someday had taken up the mantle for Undertaker, but they're both probably going to retire around the same time. The only one that I see that, you know, anything with right now, and then they completely got rid of that too, is when Finn Balor came out, he was doing the demon thing.
Oh, I love it, man.
And it's awesome, but then they wanted him to be part of the Balor Club and the, you know, whatever, but... you know, I think that that's one of the things that makes him stand out. He's great regardless, but I think that they need somebody like that. You know, back in the day, you had everybody from, like, Papa Shango. Yeah. You had Kevin Thorne. He tried to be Mordecai at one point, which was another kind of supernatural thing. But, you know, Finn's really our only hope right now for this kind of gimmick to keep going. And if done right, I think that it's a hole in one. Like, anybody who does it ends up winning, you know, and being really over with the fans and stuff. But I don't know what they're going to do with Finn.
Yeah, and it only happens to once in a while type of people, to where, like, you remember the Mummy in ECW? It's like, it was kind of horrible. But, you know, it wasn't a vampire, it was a mummy. Then, you know, there hasn't really been like a Frankenstein. There hasn't been really like a Frankenstein or anything like that. So, you know what I mean? I'm trying to think of like monsters and whatnot. Like, the vampire gimmick worked. You know, the Wyatts, the cult leader kind of thing, it works. What Finn Balor's doing with the demon stuff, you know, they got to bring that back. The fans loved I think the one thing the fans loved about him was that the different face paints, the body paints all the time, and they kind of narrowed it down to one so they can market it and whatnot. But I'm telling you, man, that's a gold mine with him to having that supernatural-esque character and changing those body paints once a month or something, man. So I hope they really tap into that and understand its full potential because, you know, The Undertaker, he's wrestling still, but, you know, those days are narrowed for sure, and who knows how many times we'll see him do anything. So they definitely need somebody to stand up and fill that void, and whether it be from the Wyatts. I remember he had a little supernatural thing back, like, last year, too. It was in a cage match or something where he appeared in the smoke of an urn or something. It's like, yep. You know what I mean? So they're really trying to figure out this and who to give it to, maybe, but I don't know. It's definitely time to fill that Taker void with somebody. Somebody's got to be next.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at the you know, NXT kind of breeds some gimmicks, whereas if you look at the roster in, you know, the main roster, WWE, so you've got Kevin Owens, doesn't really have a gimmick. Sami Zayn, doesn't really have a gimmick. Jericho, no gimmick.
Just your name.
You know, yeah. Like Orton.
Or where you're from.
Any of these people, there's nothing. You know, we've talked about this on the show before, but, you know, NXT creates these backstories. You've got Enzo and Cass. You've got the Vaudevillains. You've got,
The Ascension, man. Another supernatural, sci-fi-esque, whatever kind of a team. And they kind of really tweaked them before they came to the main roster. And it's one of those things, man, to where, they worked fine the way they were. And, of course, they just want to style him up a little bit with some other kind of shoulder pads, kind of make him look like Demolition meets LOD meets whatever. But I get it. But at the same time, I was like, it's almost like fixing something that ain't broken. You know what I mean? To where, I don't know. They had a good thing going, and they changed him up a little bit. And now they're really not with anything except for with Stardust kind of on the side. So I don't know.
If you guys are out there listening right now and you want to chime in on this discussion that we're having right now, feel free to follow us on Twitter at @AWrestlingPOD. Feel free to comment, tell us maybe your favorite supernatural gimmick or who you think that they may someday replace The Undertaker with as number one supernatural person.
And I know people listen and be like, can you believe these guys? Do they think anybody could replace The Undertaker? No, we're not saying that. What we're saying is that this supernatural entity, he's a dead man walking kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? He's the dead man. But you don't really have that dark side of the WWE. You, like you're saying, you know, everybody now, you got Sheamus. He's from Ireland. We get it. He has no gimmick in a way that, okay, he's Sheamus. Now he's the Celtic warrior. But you know what I mean? To where they don't really have that dark, those dark side kind of characters. And even look at Stardust. Stardust took a whole different turn into his character. And he's kind of dark with the, you know, the cosmic whatever and all that stuff. So I kind of see what they were doing, but once again, it's like they're trying to tap into the PG world of it. They need to go take a step back, look at guys like Gangrel, The Brood, what Mankind even did, Undertaker, Kane, that whole dark side of it, and really tap into that because there's going to be a big void soon, and I think the only people to hold on to it is kind of pretty much like the Wyatts, depending on what they do with them. And I'm really curious to see what they do with Finn Balor because when he comes to the main roster, man, I want to see that body paint. I want to see a new body paint for every pay-per-view. I don't really care about the Baylor Club. I mean, the Bullet Club was cool, but unless you call it the Bullet Club, it doesn't mean much to me. So I get it why they're doing it, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know. I think everybody loved them more with the body paint. And that's not taking away of how incredible of an athlete he is, but at the same time, nobody had that gimmick. He was doing it, and they kind of like took it away. So,
well, guys, we talked a lot about The Brood. We talked a lot about supernatural gimmicks today. We're going to talk to somebody right now who has firsthand knowledge of both of those things. So without further ado, let's talk to Gangrel.
Joining us on another wrestling podcast today is one of the most iconic characters in all of professional wrestling. He's spent time in many different promotions throughout the years and is still very much involved in the wrestling business today. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Gangrel.
Thanks, guys, man. How you doing?
Not too bad. How about you?
Oh, man, I'm still fanging and banging for an old vampire.
There have been a lot of interviews done about your life in wrestling, but we just want to talk a little bit about your life prior to stepping in the squared circle. What were some of your early interests? I mean, before wrestling, was there anything else out there that intrigued you?
Well, prior to wrestling. Well, I started at 17, so we're going to have to go back. I grew up in a really rough neighborhood, and you know, this is going to sound funny, but I wanted to be a preacher or play pro football. Like, so I gave sermons every other Sunday at church, and you know, and I was playing football, and I was really good at football. I had the high schools, everybody trying to get me to change my addresses and move me out, but then unfortunately I broke my neck playing football, and it all went the other direction. So that was my whole life up to then, was football. And at 13 I broke my neck, and then I turned into a really bad kid. I had no more interests. I was out doing bad things, making babies, doing all kinds of stuff.
Sure.
No. And man, at 16 I saw this thing, I'll be a pro wrestler, whatever, whatever. At 17 I went up there, I talked to him, and I've been wrestling ever since.
Nice.
Now, you were trained by Boris Malenko, and I think that your training back then was probably a little bit different than what it is today. Can you talk to us a little bit about your training?
Yeah, well, I trained with Malenko, and then on Sundays I trained with Gotch, you know, for original UWF. So it was, Malenko's training was more about foundation. He gave you a foundation that you can go to any country and anywhere and work with somebody without speaking a word to them. You know, I get in lots of rooms today, and I'm out there every weekend. I'm blessed. I love pro wrestling. I love the wrestling fans. I thank God every day that I'm able to be a part of such a great business. And but I get out there and see these kids calling a thousand things in the locker rooms, all these crazy spots, and get out there. But when we trained, you know, we do have to be able to hit the ropes you had to be able to wrestle in the center of the ring for 20, 30 minutes before you ever even thought about hitting the ropes, you know?
Sure.
And I miss that. I miss that about wrestling, but I think, you know, it comes back around, some of the other stuff. You see some of the guys finally getting back around to it.
Sure. Now, Gangrel, early on in your career, you were part of a tag team called the Black Hearts. Which did you enjoy more, singles or tag team wrestling?
Tag teams are fun if you can get along with your partner, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. But singles are easier for me because you only got to control you, the referee, and the guy you're working. When it's a tag team, you got, you know, four other guys in there, you know? four other guys in there, and it gets a little rough, and it starts going crazy and trying to pull it under control. So singles are easier, but tag teams are a heck of a lot more fun. And you get to do so much more stuff in a tag team match. And it's just stuff. I prefer tag teams as long as you have the right partner, you know, and you're doing the right things, you know?
Sure.
All right. Now, we have a fan question from Jeff Knapp. He's sent one in to us, and he asks, when you first started wrestling, you spent some time in several different territories. What are some of your favorite memories from Stampede Wrestling, All Japan, and USWA?
Over the top of it, huh? Well, Stampede, working with the likes of Eddie Boy Smith and Owen Hart and all them, that was really great. And USWA, Jerry Lawler was nothing but kind to me. I went for WWF tryout. He said, "Hey, kid, we could use you in Memphis. Do you want to go to Memphis?" Or to Memphis. And it worked with Lawler. I had to learn how to rework. I was in All Japan. Puerto Rico, we were killing each other down there, and you know, over across the water. But when I got to Memphis, I had to learn how to reprogram myself and actually learn what I was taught originally by Boris when he came and worked. But you know, so working with Lalo was awesome in Memphis.
Sure. Now, you spent a lot of time in WWE prior to getting your big break as Gangrel. What was the process like, and how much time passed between when you pitched that idea to when it actually happened?
Well, in 89, 90, I started working as a vampire in Puerto Rico. I went down. I was watching the movie The Lost Boys, and I said to Luna, I said, it'd be pretty cool to wrestle as a vampire. She goes, "Oh, yeah, that would be." I go, "Oh, you can't do that to pro wrestling. That would work." And she goes, "Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can." Puerto Rico was the first one to pick that idea up. And from Puerto Rico, 89, 90, I had always worked for WWE since 88, 87, 88. I've done jobs for them. I've always got some kind of paycheck from those guys the whole time. And I was always telling them about it, but they said they didn't get it. They didn't understand. They didn't think it would work. And then, so I've been pushing it since 89, I guess. I pushed it for you know, to them talking about a vampire thing. And so, and then I didn't get hired as vampire until 98. And I wasn't Vince McMahon, that was Vince Russo. I got hired just to be under developmental as David Heath, and then Vince Russo's the one that he got creative control for a little while there. And he slid the whole Gangrel thing in there.
Sure. Awesome. Now, your group, The Brood, is still talked about to this day as being one of the most cutting-edge entrances of all time. How much input did you actually have on the entrance?
On the entrance? You know, Vince Russo came up with a lot of the entrance. He's a big Kiss fan and stuff like that. They already had that, the lift and the Ring of Fire and all that out. What I came up with was the you know, drinking the chalice and the spraying of the blood, you know, and that was like more of a tribute to Gene Simmons at a Kiss, you know. Vince Russo came up with all that. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to give him that, you know, that whole thing. The music was Doug Johnson. I believe that's what his name was. And came up with that. He asked me what music I liked, and I said, a song by the Toadies called Around the Lake Tonight. And I still to this day believe that if you listen to the Toadies song, you'll hear that ring music in there jammed around a little bit. So.
Nice. You know, so speaking of the chalice, we had another fan question sent in from Josh Hill, who asks, what was actually in the chalice that you brought to the ring? I know a lot of people always ask that and probably wonder what's in there.
I've been asked that a million times, and I always go, a magician never tells his tricks. Well, you know what? Today you caught me with a little bit of a Jack Daniels buzz, so I'm going to tell you what.
Breaking news.
It was stage blood.
All right.
Awesome. Now, since Donald Trump has been in the news lately, we hear that you have an amazing Donald Trump story. Can you let us know about that?
Well, yeah. I guess I'll start at the beginning on that one. I was on the road, but I wasn't on that certain team in those Madison Gardens, you know. And I got a call, and they said, "You're booked in the Garden." I thought, "Wow, that's cool, man. The Garden's always good money." The energy there, you know, the history of Madison Square Gardens is awesome. So, you know, I go there and I get there and I can't figure out quite why I'm on the show. And then it's a special attraction match. And I'm like, special attraction? And I see it's with Kane. I go, oh, God, okay, two-man attraction. I'm pummeled here. And I'm like, whatever, it's the Garden and all that. So I'm really stoked about being there. And you know, it's time to go wrestle and everything. And I'm walking to the ring, and they have all, you know, the Garden, they have a lot, they do a lot of effects like TV, so you have all the red lights and spotlights following you and this and this and that. And as I was walking to the ring, I saw a guy there, and I thought, man, this guy don't belong there, man. He looks like he's got money, you know? Like, you've got your average front row looking fan, you know? Yep. And I'm not against the front row looking fan, but he wasn't your average looking fan. And I didn't pay any mind. I just went up to the steps, and when I got up there, I went to go to the bar, and I could hear the crowd really, really into it. I thought, oh, man, this is the Garden. This is cool that people are into it. You know, they really want to see the blood, you know. They're pumping my ego there. And so I go to drink it down, and I hear them getting loud. And I mean, when I go to spray it, you know, they're like erupting. And so I sprayed it harder than I ever sprayed in my life. I just dumped it, you know, all the blood. And I guess it turns out that Donald Trump, and he was there. And the fans were trying to tell him to move back. So he didn't like being touched. So all he did was move forward. So he pushed forward right to the barrier on him and I think it was Marla Maples. Whatever, they got soaked. I just soaked them all with the blood. Uh-huh. You know? And then, and, you know, the bigger rib was like when I came back, they were like, oh, they're just getting out of here. I had no idea. So we were just talking about all the, like the crew guys, the pyro guys, everybody, all high five they going, man, you spit on Donald Trump. I go, Donald who? Donald Trump. I'm like, it works. They go, yeah. And then, so they were all like, oh, yeah, man, that was cool. That was awesome. So then I get back there, and, you know, I got office people telling me, like, oh, Vince isn't happy, you know. All this stuff. I'm like, what? So, like, so for 3 days, they shunned me along to TVs. So I had a meeting with Vince. I was thinking I was going to get fired, and when I walked in, Vince goes, isn't that awesome? Hey, he set the whole thing up. I wasn't even on that show. He put him, gave him tickets to, added me onto the show, knowing that I'm just a robot. Just the first time to go out there and spray with blood, just, you know, everything else. So if he becomes president, I guess He's not fine. He spit all over him at one point.
Sure. Now, Gangrel, in an era of many different characters, why do you think Gangrel, the character, resonated with so many fans?
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, just vampires and stuff like that have always been cool. I mean, I asked why Twilight or why it was Velocity was such an iconic thing. You know, I think it was just timing, the ring music. I mean, at the entrance. I mean, bottom line, the music, the fire, the entrance. I mean, that's if you go any convention or anywhere I go, people come up and say that was the best entrance. So I think the entrance, you know, and Steve Austin once asked me, what do you like about your music in the entrance? I go, I can walk through it. He goes, exactly. So if you can feel your entrance and walk to your entrance, it's hooking all the fans. And they feel it too, you know. So I think it was the entrance.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Now, do you find that you've gained, like, you go all over the world now still wrestling. Do you find that you gained new fans after the launch of the WWE Network?
Oh, yeah. I was in England last year, right? England had launched it just about a little over a year ago in England, WWE Network. And I had to do a meet and greet thing afterwards. And it was like all these little girls and stuff like that. And the guy goes, they're your biggest fan. They go, how can they be my biggest fan? I mean, they're like 10 years old. He goes, WWE Network is all they do is watch the network. And you're the guy they love. So, yeah, the network has spawned. I think it's helped me tremendously because I'm slammed every weekend. I'm blessed with bookings and constantly working. And I believe the network's a big contributor to that.
Sure. And going back again for some ideas, where did the idea of the bloodbath come from? Is that another Russo one? Or is that
from you? No. That was a me and Edge.
All
right. Me and Adam thing. We both watched Blade about the same time. And if you watch one of the beginning scenes in Blade, they're in this meat house, and it's like a big rave, and then the lights go off, and the music goes crazy, and starts flashing, and it says Bloodbath. You know, we go, oh, that's pretty cool. Let's steal that. Yeah, that's where that came from.
All right.
Awesome. Now, everybody knows that the Brood consisted of you, Edge, and Christian. Was that the original group, or did WWE ever have any different ideas?
Well, there was a couple people up for Christian's spot. I was there, brung in, and my job was, hey, you know, make Edge fit in, make it work, whatever. Your job is to make sure he's okay. And I got that. But as far as the Brood thing, there was a fellow called Dr. Luther in Canada. Out of the northwest of the Canadian area, and the Fallen Angel, Chris Daniels. They were the two guys that were up for that clock that Christian got. And then Edge, I don't know if it was Edge or what the deal was, but Christian got in there, though. And, you know, I'm glad he did. It worked. I love Chris Daniels to death. I mean, he's still a good dear friend of mine. But I think it worked better with them being brothers, and they went on to have such a great career, and I'm so proud of them all. You know, I'm sad that not working anymore, but they're still doing the things, and I'm very, very proud of them. And they're two very good kids, and Adam's a tremendous individual, a human being and a man. You know, he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm. Did you see big things in Edge and Christian when you created the Brood?
Edge did. Christian, like, I thought about Christian. He could put a match together better than anybody. You know, it's funny that the Freebirds are getting inducted into the Hall of Fame with Michael Hayes and everything, and we were prepared a lot to the Freebirds, and I was a huge, huge Freebird fan, you know. And, like, Michael Hayes would come up, and he'd say, you know, Edge, you're me. David, you're Bam Bam. Gangrel, you're Bam Bam Chagoy. Chris, you're Buddy Roberts. And he'd get mad, and I would tell him, I'd go, Christian, Buddy Roberts is the best worker out of all of them, you know what I mean? And it was kind of true to the same thing with the Brood. I think Christian's probably the best worker out of all of us. He has a mind, and he can put a match together with anybody. With anybody, if he can stay injury free, he's not the biggest guy in the world, or this and that. And he doesn't have the greatest personality sometimes, if you don't know him. But that cat can put a match together like no other and make anybody look good and get himself over at the same time.
Now, we've got another fan question. A lot of people wanted to talk to you. This one comes from John Wayne Humphreys. He wants to know, do you still rock out to the Brood theme?
Of course I do. I still use it once in a while on some shows. I have a different song, but it's very, very similar. But yeah. I mean, how could he not? I mean, that like I said, you asked me what made me think that I was so memorable with the fans, and it's that music. I'm a mark for that music too. I love it. I mean, in my head, I hear it, and I automatically want to start walking, getting that little sway, and heading to the ring. You know, absolutely.
Sure, and coming down to it, you know, what are your thoughts on other wrestlers trying to use a vampire gimmick today?
I mean, they say flattery is a sincere form. You know, imitation is it's a flattery. It's a sincere form of flattery. But you know, I don't know. It's a tough thing. It's cool, but you know, I wouldn't have thought much of it. But I've seen them come and go, and I think WWE was so hot in '98, '99, 2000 that it's made it almost near, like, I don't want to say impossible, but it's a very hard task to come up with the way, because they were just so. Brandon and, you know, with that insurance and everything I had, it just, and it was like a perfect storm, you know, it was like, you know, it's just a perfect storm of things that came together and it just happened to work. Nobody wanted that character to work. Mr. Man didn't want a vampire character. They never thought it would go anywhere. He himself came up to me and said, I don't know what these people see in this thing, but it seems to be getting over. I think it was just a perfect storm. And my first original thought was that would never work in wrestling. I still think that would, but I just happened to fall into a perfect storm at a perfect time in pro wrestling that it worked, you know.
Sure. Well, Gangrel, we want to thank you so much for joining us today, but where can the fans keep up with you and everything you're doing these days?
I'm on Facebook a lot, Gangrel David Heath. I'm pretty sure I think my Instagram is Gangrel13 or Gangrel David Heath on Twitter, one or the other, it's all the same, but Gangrel David Heath on Facebook. I'm always on there floating around, probably too much, probably tying up people's timelines. They're getting hot at me, putting up story stuff, but I'm always out there.
All right, once again, thanks to Gangrel. Jonathan, we talked supernatural gimmicks, you know, from The Undertaker to the Wyatts. Hey, you could even mention the Boogeyman in there, too, to where there's been quite a few characters out there. But once again, we want to hear from you. Be sure to tweet us, Facebook us, subscribe to us, leave comments. Let us know. Even give us a call on the old hotline, 802-297-7672, 802-AWP-7672. And let us know some of your favorite supernatural gimmicks.
What up, Credo? JB, Angry Cooter, Social Assassin, in the building. Listen, top supernatural favorite, gotta go Papa Shango. I don't know why. I just think that after the Warriors return at WrestleMania 8, and he had that green blood coming down or whatever the hell it was from the Warrior. I don't know what it was about that, but I just thought that was cool as shit. Enjoy, gentlemen. Have a good one.
Hey, guys. This is Steven from Steve's Wrestling Ramble and Main Event March. Just wanted to give my thoughts on supernatural characters in WWE and professional wrestling in general. To me, my favorite has always been The Undertaker, not just in Supernatural, as a supernatural character, but as a WWE superstar in general. I think the entry to a supernatural character, at least to me, is the ambiance and what WWE can do, or any wrestling company can do with that type of character. And I think The Undertaker, with the many years he's been in WWE, has been the best of the rest. Just wanted to share my thoughts and have a great episode.
Promo of the week.
Papa Shango, I've got to ask you, what is going on?
Ultimate Warrior, how does it feel not to be in control? Ultimate Warrior, how does it feel? You have entered the dark world of Papa Shango. You have stepped into my black circle. And that circle, it's closing on you.
Thank God that's over.
Now, if you're in the Hudson Valley and you love comic books, action figures, and anything dealing with pop culture, head on over to collectorsrealm.net. You guys can visit them at the Duchess Marketplace on Saturdays and Sundays between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. That's Duchess Marketplace, located at 453 Route 9 in Fishkill, New York. just south of I-84. Head on over to collectorsrealm.net.
Hey, all you professional wrestling fans out there. We here at Another Wrestling Podcast have just the thing for you. If you've always wanted to join one of those monthly subscription sites that give you all kinds of treats and goodies in the mail, the best one by far is ProWrestlingCrate.com. You can follow them at PWCrate on Twitter or at ProWrestlingCrate on Instagram. Be sure to check them out and subscribe. The cost is nominal and you get some amazing things every month. And you never know what you're going to get. So tell them that Another Wrestling Podcast sent you and enjoy the Pro Wrestling Crate.
Head on over to PWPNation.com. It's a wrestling media website and community that loves professional wrestling. They strive on creating an array of interesting articles and reviews on everything professional wrestling. Head on over to PWPNation.com.
Well, that's the show. We want to thank you all for listening today.
Every week we do this show free of charge for you, the fans.
And if you're wondering how to repay us, we have just the thing.
Subscribe to us on iTunes.
Hey, and while you're there, be sure to rate us and give us a good review.
If you're looking for more information about AWP, then head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com.
We are all over social media, and you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and more.
If you are an AWP superfan, you can also show your support by going over to ProWrestlingTees.com/AnotherWrestlingPodcast and buying one of our official AWP shirts.
We couldn't do this show without you, so tune in next week for
Another Wrestling Podcast.